Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming to this talk on the final day of MiX 11. My name is Peter Tor. I'm a program manager on the Windows Phone Application Platform team. And I'll be talking to you today about part two of Windows Phone multitasking. Now, if you went to the excellent presentations by Darren Miller or Andrew Klinik yesterday, they were kind of hyping up this talk a lot, saying wild things like, I'll be showing thousands of lines of code. That's not quite true. But one thing they did say, which is true, is that I have fewer than five slides. Everything else is going to be Visual Studio and emulator. So there's some feedback coming out of the speakers. That said, let's get straight on with my fewer than five slides. So firstly, a very quick overview of this session, what it is, what it isn't. This is focused on multitasking code. I'm not going to talk about XAML. I'm not going to talk about C#. I'm only really going to talk about multitasking code. Next, I'm not going to be covering conceptual topics. So Darren did a great job of that, Andrew did a great job of that, Istvan did a great job of that. If you want to know more about the thinking behind multitasking in Windows Phone, watch those presentations online if you haven't already seen them. And really, the idea of this session is that it should get you itching to try more. Now, we've said the tools will be available to you in May, so unfortunately you can't start coding right now, but this talk, of course, will be online, so you'll be able to... When the tools come out, you'll be able to go online, look at this talk again, and I'll have the code on my blog, so you'll be able to start playing then. So that was slide one. Slide number two is the agenda. Very, very simple. It's demos, 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 all demos, all day. And then there's some Q&A. So that was two slides out of my five that I was going to do. So let's go straight into our demos. And I'm going to demonstrate four things for you today. Background notifications, background transfer, background agents, and background audio. And I will spend a bit more time on the latter two because the code is more complicated. But I will walk you through the code for all four of those scenarios. So first of all, let's just go ahead and run this application, which is a kind of a cake baking application. I can make my emulator a bit bigger here. So here we have my cake baking application. And it has a list of cakes here, chocolate cake, carrot cake, etc. I'm going to click on pound cake. And here I have my recipe for pound cake. Very easy to make, by the way. You should all try it. It's very easy. Now, in this application, it tells me the ingredients I need. It tells me the instructions on how to bake it. And then it has this remind me button down the bottom. Now, in Windows Phone 7, there was no good way for an application to actually implement reminders. The best you could do was really to run under the lock screen and then hope that the user didn't switch away to read email or browse the web or something like that. So right now, the remind me button doesn't do anything. But let's fix that so that in Windows Phone vNext, we can actually put a reminder up for the user. So here I am in my code for this application, and I have a nice little event handler, remind me click for the button. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a reminder object. So I want to show a reminder to the user. So I'll type in reminder, r equals new reminder. And I'm going to give it a name so that later on, if I need to, I can find this reminder to see if it's been shown or not, to see if it's expired or not, or to delete it from the system. In this demo, I don't actually use the name, but I'm going to give the reminder a name because it's a required parameter. So now I can add some text to my reminder. I can show the title of the reminder, and I can show some content to tell the user what this reminder is actually about. So my title is just going to be something like cake, and my content is going to be... time to take the cake out of the oven. Time to take cake out of oven. So now I have my title and I have my content. Now the next thing I need is the time for this, when this reminder is going to fire. Now we don't want to wait 45 minutes for this demo to run. So just like when you watch those cooking shows on TV and you like put something in the oven and then they say, well, here's one I put in before the show. I'm going to have a reminder that fires in a few seconds so that we don't have to wait 45 minutes for my cake to bake. So I'm going to set my begin time to a little short timeout, 15 seconds from now, so we have don't have to wait 45 minutes. And so now I have a title, I have a content, I have a begin time. And then the last thing I want to do is when the user taps on my reminder, I want to come back into my application and I want to come back into the page that I was looking at. And this is something you probably saw in the keynote, or you might have seen in some other talks, which is we're doing a lot around deep linking inside Windows Phone next release. So rather than the reminder taking me to the Cake app, and then I see the list of all the cakes, and then I have to remember which one I was baking, I can link directly into that cake recipe so I can see what my next steps are. You know, I take it out of the oven, maybe I need to ice it, maybe I need to do something else with it. So I'm going to set the navigation URI of my reminder to the current page, and that can be retrieved from navigationService.currentSource. So now I have my reminder with some title, some content, a time, and a navigation URI to click. And now all I do is I add it to the thing called a scheduled action service, which is the service on the phone that schedules things. Now you'll note it's not called a reminder service or an alarm service. It's called a scheduled action service. And that's very deliberate because this thing can schedule not only alarms and reminders, but also third-party code. And we'll get to that with the background agents later on. So that's why it has what might seem like a peculiar name of scheduled action service. It's because it schedules various things. So to this, we're going to add our reminder. And now let's go ahead and run our application. Here we are, loading up, go to my pound cake, click on remind me. Now let's say I exit out of the app. Here I am back in the start screen. Let's say I'm browsing an Internet Explorer. Maybe I want to go to Engadget to see what they're saying about Mix. And any minute now, that reminder will fire up and let me know that my cake is ready. Now, I said 15 seconds. The granularity isn't quite that good on the emulator. Sometimes it can take a little bit longer. Maybe a lot longer. What is happening? Where is my reminder? Let's try this again. I have title, I have content, I have a begin time, I have started it. What's happening? What's wrong? Let's debug this, see if it's actually getting called. Oh, there it goes. So it's running. This is a fail, I'm sorry. This has never happened before. I've done this demo about 20 times in the last 2 days. But what you would see is a reminder would pop up. And then when I clicked on the reminder, it would take me back into my application right where I was with the cake baking. One more time, then we'll give up. So it'll say, remind me. Let's quit out of the app. We'll wait a little bit. We won't run IE this time. Maybe that was the problem. We're waiting here in our emulator. And there we go. So now it fired. I think IE might have been the problem. So here we have a reminder. Thank you. So here we have a reminder. Text here, background notifications is the name of my application. So as a user, if you start seeing these reminders and they're bothering you, you know which application to go turn off the reminder. Here's my title, which is cake. My content, which is time to take cake out of the oven. And the system provides this reminder snooze for me, so 5 minutes, 10 minutes, etc. I could snooze or dismiss, but right now I'm just going to click on cake. It's going to launch me back into my application, and here I am back at my pound cake recipe. Now this brings up one of the problems that we have seen in Windows Phone 7 with the navigation model in applications, which is I'm now at what is technically the first screen of this application. And if I want to get back to the list of recipes, you might think you would click the back key to do that. But that's actually going to quit and take me back to the home screen. Because that recipe was the first page of my application. And we didn't have a very good way of solving this in Windows Phone 7. But what we're doing in Windows Phone Mango is adding some features to let you play around with the back stack to let me go from that cake page back into the list of all recipes and not have the back stack be messed up. So let's see how we do that. I'm going to utilize two things. I'm going to use my navigated to handler to make a button show on the on that page that lets me go home. And then I'm going to write a click handler for that button that tells me to go to the main page. So let's do that right now. We only want to show the button that says go home if this page was the first page in the application. Because if I started the application normally, I see the all recipes list, then I go into my cake. The natural way to get back to all recipes is to click back, so I don't need another UI affordance to get to my all recipes page. But if this was the first page in the application, I have no way of going back to my recipe list, so I'm going to add a button that lets the user click the button and go into the recipe list. I already have it in my XAML, but I need to make it visible. And what I'm going to do that is if the navigation service.canGoBack is not equal to true, that means there's nothing else in the back stack before me. So I am the very first page in the application. And if that's the case, I need to enable my button so that the user can click it to get to the all recipe list. So I'm going to say go home button dot visibility equals visibility dot visible. So now when I navigate to this page, I'll see a button if and only if this was the first page of the app. And then when I click the button, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a forward navigation to my list of recipes, and I'm going to pass it a flag that says, you've just been navigated to, but the page you came from is useless now. Please delete it from the back stack. So I'm going to do that again with a navigation service, dot navigate, existing API in Windows Phone 7. And I'm going to do a new URI to mainpage.xaml. And I'm going to give it a parameter that says, please clear yourself. So it's clear equals true, or yes. And this is a relative URI. And that's all I need to do from this page to navigate to my main page. And then if we look at the main page, just like with the cake in the oven, I already wrote a little bit of code here that basically says, if you're navigating forwards towards the main page, so not a back navigation, but a forward navigation to the main page, and the person navigating has set this clear key to say, please clear the back stack, I'm going to use this new API that we have in Windows Phone Mango that says remove back entry. You can also enumerate things on the back stack and so on, but this is the only API I'm going to use today, which is remove back entry. So now let's see if I run the app. Starts up. Here's my list, first page in the app. I click pound cake. You'll notice there's no button because there's now the second page in the app. I'll say remind me. Let's get out of there. We won't run IE because that broke the demo last time. We'll wait a few seconds for the reminder to come up. Fingers crossed, it'll come up this time. Here we go. Again, we have my cake information, etc. I'll click here. Now we launch the app, and you'll see now I have my home button, because this is now the first page in the app, and if I hit back, I would quit the app, but I want to get back to my recipe list. So I click home. Now I've navigated forwards towards the main list, and if I hit back, I will now exit the application. So now we have a more natural way for the user to interact with the application. If I hit pound cake again, the button is gone because I can hit back. If I hit back, I quit the app. So that's some of the things we're adding in Mango as well to help you deal with all these deep links that you get from toasts and from reminders and so on. We're adding these features to let you better deal with the backstack in Mango. So that was it for notifications. Now let's look at background transfers. So the background transfer demo I have is a very simple application that is going to download a large file, in this case a movie file from the internet, and then play it. And in Windows Phone 7, if you start downloading files through HTTP web request, and then the user gets bored and they move away from your application, that web request gets canceled, right? Now you can do things like you can use a range request to smartly chunk up the download, so you when you get deactivated, you can stop your download. When you get activated, you can start it up again. But that's kind of complicated, tricky code, and not all servers support range requests. And also, even though it gives the illusion of a download continuing, it still won't finish in the background, because when the user switched away from your app, what they really wanted to do was do something else while the download continues. They didn't want to switch away and then come back, only to realize that no progress was made. So what we're going to do in this particular demo is use the new background transfer service to let me download content in the background while my app isn't in the foreground. So you'll see here I have a background transfer request object. So let me just initialize that, btr equals new background transfer request. And I'm going to give it two parameters when I create it, the remote location from which I want to download the file and the local location to which I want to download it to. So I have some convenient URIs set up here for local and remote URI. The remote URI points to a web server on my machine. I had it pointing to a server outside in the real world, but it was too slow and the demo took too long. So it is downloading off my local machine, but it does still take long enough for the demo to work. And then local download URI is just a path inside my isolated storage. So now that I have my background transfer request, I'm going to add it to the transfer service to tell it to start. So background transfer service dot add. Similar pattern to what we did with reminders. We create an object, add it to a service, add BTR to that. And that's actually all we need to do to download a file from A to B. If you did this with web request, it's about 30 lines of code. It requires, you know, copying files to bytes to a buffer and writing them to disk and so on. So this is actually much easier than using web request. But of course, we want to give some feedback to the user. We want to show them a nice progress bar of how the download is going. And we want to know when the download has been completed so that we can start playing the movie to the user. So I'll use a couple of events for that. We'll add the transfer progress changed event, which tells us when transfer progress has changed. And we'll use the status changed event, which tells us when the status of the transfer has changed. So let's first look at status changed. A transfer goes through various stages. You queue it up, and then it's waiting to be downloaded. Then it's starting to transfer, and then it can be paused if you go off Wi-Fi, for example, or if you lose AC power, and it was a download that required AC power. And then it can error in some cases, and eventually it will complete. And for this demo, the only thing we care about is completion, because we don't care about Wi-Fi or AC or anything like that. So inside the status change handler, I'm just going to check if the status is complete, if btr.transferStatus is complete. Then I'm going to make sure my progress bar says it's 100% finished, and then I'm going to tell my media element, which is going to play this movie I'm downloading, to load the file off isolated storage. I'm going to say update progress bar and media element. And that's just a helper function that just updates the UI properties. Nothing special happening there. Now, in transfer progress changed, I just want to make sure my progress bar does nice little progressions. So inside here, I'm going to call my update progress bar function. And it needs the total number of bytes downloaded, so it can say how long the progress bar is. And so the total number of bytes to download, and then the number of bytes that have been downloaded, which is my current progress. So here I can say BTR, got total bytes to receive. Same name as if you've used web client before. So we're taking concepts that you know, moving them over a bit to background transfer request. And then we need to know how many have been downloaded. So bytes downloaded, or bytes received. So this is the same kind of API that you would see in web request. Okay, so now that's got me some UI while I'm in the foreground. I can see the nice progress bar going, and I can get told when the download is finished. But also what I want to do is, when I come back to the application, I want to check, did my transfer complete while I was away? So what I'm going to do for that one is I'm going to use a navigation unnavigated from event handler. So when I get navigated to, I'm going to ask the system, hey, is that download finished yet? Or if not, let me hook up the events and I'll get more progress changes. So we're going to use the onNavigatedTo function. And in here, what I'm going to do is ask the transfer service to give me back any requests that I have previously queued up. Now, in this example, there's only ever one. You can have more than one queued up. But for this example, I just need to worry about the first one. So I'm going to say BTR equals background transfer service dot requests dot first or default. Now, if it's null, it means I haven't queued up any transfers and I can just quit. So if BTR is equal to null, I can just return. Otherwise, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hook up the same event handlers so that I can get progress change notifications. And I'm also going to check, has the transfer already completed? Because if it's already completed, I can hook up my media element and I can play my video. So let's go ahead and run this now. My background transfer app. I'm going to click download, and you'll see the progress bar go forwards. And I'm going to quit the app while the progress bar is still going forwards. So we'll say download. Wait a little bit for the transfer service to start. And you'll see it started. There's a blue dot. Halfway through, I'm going to quit the app. I can turn off the phone. I can browse the web. I can do other things. Let's go ahead, run my transfer application again. And you'll see it's download's finished and my play button is enabled. So now I can download. I can play this video that I've downloaded from the network. And the same thing happens with fast app switching. If I quit the app this time, I could also fast app switch away. So let's start again. Let's download again. Wait for it to be partially finished. Hit start. My app got frozen. It's now fast app switched. Let's go back. It's completed. I can hit play, and there's my video. So that's how you can do downloads that continue in the background even while your application is no longer in the foreground. So that was background transfer. Now let's look at background agents. Now, background agents are the way that you can actually run custom code in the background on a schedule. Currently set at 30 minutes, as described by Darren and Istvan. That was just a number that we started with. We may be tweaking that number, and feedback from developers is a great thing for us to get to know if we need to tweak these numbers. But right now, agents will run about every 30 minutes. Now, the example that I have here for my agent demo is basically a simple Twitter application. And it goes ahead and it downloads tweets. And you know, here's a list of tweets, and I can click on this and see some information, et cetera. And what I'm going to do for my agent is, rather than having to pull the phone out of my pocket every once in a while and check, are there new tweets, I'm going to have an agent run in the background and then send a toast to me if there has been a new tweet. Now, in the grand scheme of things, this probably isn't the best way of using agents. It could be quite annoying. One of the more interesting scenarios is, say, location-based scenarios using GPS tracking. But given that we're inside, you know, a conference room inside a casino, and I can't see any GPS satellites and I'm not moving, having a demo based on location didn't really make much sense. So I'm going to do a demo based on everyone's favorite website, Twitter. So I have this checkbox down here that says check for tweets in the background. Right now it doesn't do anything, but let's go ahead and make it do something. So here we are on my main page. I have two functions, start agent and stop agent. They'll get triggered when I click the checkbox. And when I start the agent, what I want to do is create a task, just like I created a reminder, set some properties for it, and add it to that scheduled action service, which tells the system, hey, go ahead and start scheduling this agent. So I'm going to create a periodic task. And I'm going to call it Twitter, so I can find it again later. And just as an aside, if you went to Darren or Istvan's talk, they also mentioned these on-AC agents that run less frequently but run for much longer because they can run on AC power, so they're not draining your battery. If I wanted to use one of them, I would just say resource-intensive task T equals new blah, 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 blah. And now I have an agent that runs when I'm plugged in on Wi-Fi and it can run for 10 minutes and it can do all sorts of, you know, data syncing and so on. But I'm not using resource-intensive task. I'm using periodic task so I can run every half an hour or so for about 15 seconds. So now, just as with the reminder, I'm going to set a description for this thing. So in Darren's talk, he showed you a control panel of agents turning on and off. And this is a string that you provide so that when the user goes to the control panel, they see what value your agent is providing. Like they know it's using battery, but they want to know why. So here I'm just going to say gets tweets. And I'm not going to turn off my own agent. The next thing I do is I'm going to set an expiration time. Now, again, as Darren mentioned, we'll only schedule agents for 2 weeks unless you reschedule them. But we do ask that developers think a lot about how much their code actually needs to run. And if the agent only needs to run for a shorter period of time, then tell us a shorter expiry time. For this example with Twitter, I'm interested in getting quick updates on Twitter while I'm here at Mix. But once I get back to Redmond, you know, the traffic will die down a bit. I don't necessarily need such rapid toasts coming around about tweets. So I'm just going to say that I'm only going to run this agent for 1 day. So after 1 day, this agent will automatically stop. It won't keep using my battery, and I'm happy. So I've set my description. I've set my expiration time. Now I go ahead and add it to that scheduled action service. And that's all I need to do to set up an agent and tell it to run. And if I want to stop the agent, I'm just going to go and remove it from the service. So I'm going to remove my Twitter agent. Not that we're going to do that, because we want the agent to run. So that's what it takes to create an agent, set up its schedule, and tell the system to start running it, or to tell the system to stop running it. Now, in the final release of the tools, the way you would actually add that agent code to your solution would be that you would go into the Solution Explorer, you know, and you would right-click, and you would say Add Project, and you would add an agent project. We don't have that in the tools right now. So what I have here is just a library I've already added. It's a tweet agent library. I've added that to my solution, and I've added a reference to it to my main program. But the tools will do that for you when we release. And there is some metadata in my application manifest that tells me this is the name of the DLL and the name of the type to run when the agent is supposed to run. So now this is the code that my agent is going to use. So I've set up the schedule to run the agent. Now I need to show the code that's going to happen when the agent runs. And in my foreground application, I was showing those tweets in a list, and I was showing tweets in a details page. And I wrote a little helper library to do that. It uses web client, and it uses a link over XML to generate some nice strongly typed objects based on the data I get back from Twitter. And the great thing about background agents is because they're using the same runtime and the same frameworks, so they're just Silverlight, you can actually take that code that you've been using in the foreground, and as long as it has no UI dependencies, and as long as it doesn't use megabytes and megabytes of data, of memory, you can go right ahead and reuse that code in your background agent. So there's nothing new to learn, really. So what I'm going to do here is use my Twitter access library. I'm going to call get first tweet, which is really just going to get the list of tweets from Twitter, pick off the first one, and I'm going to search for WP7dev, because that's the hashtag that we follow. And there's a callback that happens when I've got the tweet from Twitter. And in this callback, what I'm going to do is show that toast to the user, to say, here's the latest tweet with this particular search term. So I'm going to use a shell toast for this. Oops, new shell toast. So a shell toast is the little bar that comes up, just like when you get an SMS or a push notification. Just like with a reminder, this is going to have a title and some content. For my title, I'm going to set it to be the tweet's author. And for the content, I'm going to set it to be the content of the tweet, or the text of the tweet. And then I'm going to show it. Oh, sorry, I'm also going to add a navigation URI. So just as with the reminder, when I click on the reminder, I went to my cake application, I can also deep link from these toasts into my app. So I can set, again, the navigation URI is equal to a new URI. And I'm going to deep link into my details page with the ID of the tweet so I can show the details to the user. So details page.xaml ?ID equals and the tweet's ID. And it is a relative URI. So now I have the information I need, very similar to a reminder. So again, everything that you learn, you keep reusing. Now I'm just going to show that toast. And then the final thing you do inside an agent is that you call notify complete. And notify complete tells the system, hey, I'm done doing my work. You can now shut me down. You can give the resources back to the foreground app, or you can start running other agents. Now, if you forget to call notify complete, you'll run until we think you've run too long, and then we'll just rudely terminate you. Right, so you don't have time to clean up. Depending on the scenario, we might not schedule you again. It depends on how we are perceiving your agent is running. But you always want to call notify complete as soon as possible to release resources back to the system and to let us know that you're well-behaved so that we'll schedule you again. So I'm going to call notify complete here. And that's all I need to do to create an agent that will run every 30 minutes. It will show a toast to the user, and if the user clicks on it, I'll go into the app. So I'm also going to demonstrate debugging here. So I'm going to set a breakpoint here in my tweet callback, and I'm going to set a breakpoint here in my start search agent, and I'm going to hit F5, and I'm going to debug this one. And is there anyone in the audience that has a Twitter account and that can tweet live so I can get a live tweet from someone? Anyone here going to tweet? Okay, there's at least two people. There's always tweets coming in anyway, so it shouldn't matter too much. So here I am in my Twitter application, and I see this checkbox here for check your tweets in the background. I'll go ahead and click that, and now, of course, I'm in the debugger. Nothing new about that. But if you look up here, you'll see something that's familiar if you've been doing ASP.NET and Silverlight debugging or multi-process debugging in the Visual Studio before. We actually have a process here, and it says I'm in the UI task, because I'm currently debugging the UI task. So here I create my task, I set the description, I set the expiration time, and then right before I add it, let's see what was the most recent tweet. I'm in the debugger. But there was a recent tweet there. What I'm hoping now is that people will start tweeting some other things about WP7dev. Hopefully they're nice things. Maybe they've got something to do with this demo. But we'll see if we can get them to come up in the toast. So now when I go and run this scheduled action service.add function, I want you to look down here where it says ready. It'll say launching background agent. And that's because the system is launching the agent and Visual Studio is attaching to it so I can also debug it. And then I'm going to go to the emulator and quit the application so that we can pretend the app isn't running. So I'm going to hit F5, and you'll see here it says launching background task. And let me go back to the emulator and shut down the app because we don't need it anymore. And Visual Studio takes a while to load the agent. But here we are, we're in the agent code now. And if I zoom in, you'll see process is the background task. Right? So I can debug background and foreground tasks in Visual Studio. You can do both at the same time, you can do one, you can do the other. But this is how I know I'm now debugging my background task. So now I have I'll create my shell toast. I'll get a tweet from Frank PR. Is Frank PR in the room? Yes, we have a live tweeter. His tweet text was, this one is for Peter Tor. Thank you. We'll set the navigation URI, and then right before I call show, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to zoom in, just so we can see what happens. Here we have a tweet, we have my icon, we have Frank PR, Frank Pringle. This one is for Peter Tor. If I clicked on this toast, I would take myself into the application where we would see the tweet. And then I could use the same trick I used for the reminder to have a home button that takes me back to the list and I can deal with the navigation issues. But we've already seen that happening, so we're not going to demo that right now. So that's how you deal with, that's how you create a background agent, how you schedule a background agent, how you run a background agent. There's a couple of other things I'll just show you in code, but I won't run, and they're to do with error conditions. So at the moment, I'm using the unauthenticated Twitter APIs to do a search. But imagine I was using the authenticated Twitter APIs, or I was using some other web service that required authentication. Now imagine that my credentials expired, or I changed them on my PC, or something else happened, and my task in my agent failed for a reason due to authentication failure, or some other really bad fatal error. Now in that case, it doesn't make sense for the system to keep scheduling the agent, because if it failed now, it's going to fail half an hour from now, and it's going to fail half an hour after that, and it's going to fail forever for 14 days. So if that happens, instead of calling notify complete, what I do is I call abort. And abort tells the system, not only is this agent done now, but don't bother scheduling it again because it's so badly broken, it can't run until the user runs the UI app, goes back in, you know, changes their credentials or whatever. So for example, before I called abort, I might update my tile on the start menu with, you know, some kind of a red star or something saying, you know, authentication error, please log in again. But I can update my tile, and Thomas Fennell will tell you how to do that in a few hours. I call abort, and I don't need to worry about this agent running every half hour, constantly pinging a service and failing. So the other thing that can happen in error conditions is that if the system runs your agent and then decides that it really needs those resources back again, it can actually ask you to cancel. And there's another override for that, and it's called onCancel. And the system will call this when we want you to cancel what you're doing pretty quickly. Now, as I mentioned before, we can terminate the process if you take too long, and in that case, you don't have a chance to clean up. But what onCancel does is tells you, hey, we're about to kill you in a few seconds because we need the resources back again. We're not going to run you for that fully scheduled time that you're expecting. You've got a couple of seconds now to stop what you're doing, save state, and prepare for the next time we're going to run you. So onCancel will be called if, for whatever reason, we've started to run you and then decide, whoops, you know, the user suddenly unlocked their phone. We now need to stop running the agent to do something for the end user. We'll call onCancel, and then you can cleanly shut down. And so that's basically it for generic background agents. And now the final demo that I have is around background audio, which is a special case of background agents. Now I'm going to run this demo first, and here we have my nice UI. And I would love to be able to play the Pet Shop Boys for you guys and girls here, because I love the Pet Shop Boys, my favorite band. But you'll see here it says, lawyer approved media player. So I can't play the Pet Shop Boys. Oops, and I just hit the back button on my mouse. I can't play the Pet Shop Boys, so I'm going to play some random music that we have the licenses for. I just wanted to show this because I love the Pet Shop Boys. So what's going to happen here, and I'm going to show you the code in a second, is that I have an app bar here. If I hit play, what's going to happen is music's going to start playing. And you see I've got some metadata here, just send out the volume a little bit. it. I've got an album art, I've got some metadata here. I can click pause in my app bar, the music pauses, I hit play, the music plays. And I can also use the universal volume control. See, it says the same track title, I can hit skip. I can hit skip, the track skips my UI updates. I can even quit my app. Hit F9 for the emulator. If you don't know that, by the way, F8, F9 on the emulator changes volume. I can skip, track skips, new music starts playing. So I'm still playing music in the background, even though I quit the foreground app. And then you'll notice if I skip once more, you'll notice that button has disappeared. And that's because my particular agent is enforcing a policy that I'm only allowed to skip 3 times. Because a lot of these services that provide background audio have rules about how many times you can skip in an hour or per track or per station. And so we can actually encode those custom rules and so that the UI won't actually show the skip button. Now there's a bug right now in that it still shows it here, but you remember before there were 2 buttons, now there's only one. And let's uninstall this app because I don't want to listen to this music anymore. If I uninstall, it immediately stops. So let's take a look at some of the code that's required to run this particular demo. So in my main page, I basically have an image for the album art, a couple of text fields to show you the album, the artist, and the title, and then a progress bar to show you the progress in the song. And then I have a couple of app bar buttons for play, pause, and skip. So I'm not going to write the code for this one because it's a bit more involved, but I will walk you through it. So first of all, I have a thing called a background audio player. And this is a new class that we have in Windows Phone Mango. It's different from Media Element, which is the Silverlight way of playing audio and video in the foreground. And it's different than the XNA Media Player. We didn't want to have a third way of playing audio, but this really is such a specific case that it didn't make sense to take one of the existing ones and then kind of, put things on it and change it in ways that didn't look natural. So rather than make the existing APIs look worse, we decided to create a new API called Background Audio Player. But it will be familiar to you. It has similar APIs to Media Element and to the XNA Media Player. So to set up my background player, I just get the one and only instance of this player. Each third-party application can have an instance of the player and will switch between them. So you could have, application A playing background audio. Then you switch to application B, it wants to play background audio. A stops, B starts, you go to C, and so on. So each application has its own instance of the player. And then I'm going to listen to the play state changed event. Because my foreground application doesn't actually do any media playback, doesn't actually do anything particularly interesting. All it does is it kind of acts like a view on a controller. It sends commands to Zune to tell it to play, or pause, or fast forward. And it receives events back saying, hey, I played, or I skipped tracks. So let's look at the playState changed handler. And this gets called every time the playState changes. There's only two I care about, really. One is, if the current playState is playing, so a new track has started playing, I'm going to get the current track from the player, which will give me track metadata from the player. I'm going to update my UI, which is all done with data binding. So my image and my 2 text boxes and so on is done by data binding. I'm going to update the play pause button. So, if I'm currently playing, it shows pause. And if I pause, it shows play. And I also have that overlay that has the paused text. And that's all I'm going to do. And if the play state is paused, I'm going to switch the button again from a pause button to a play button. They're the only 2 states I care about in this particular application. But there are actually lots of play states. You get told when buffering has started or buffering has stopped, a track has ended, the user is fast-forwarding, the user is rewinding, the user is skipping tracks. So there's actually a bunch of callbacks that you get. I only really care about these two for this demo. So that's how I respond to events from the system telling me how the audio playback is changing. Now, my UI is pretty easy. When my play pause button gets clicked, if I'm currently playing, I'm going to tell the system to pause. Otherwise, I'm going to tell it to play. And then the skip next button is just going to skip next. And that's really all I have. The rest of the stuff down here is, the data binding to put things into the XAML. So that's pretty basic, and I have a breakpoint here, so we'll debug through this in a second. Now let's go ahead and look at the agent. So of course, my app is just showing some UI, and it's controlling the playback. But the thing that does the real heavy lifting is Zune, but it uses my agent in order to help it pick tracks and get metadata and so on. And if you're at Darren's talk, he mentioned two types of audio playback, or three if you include HTML. One was URL-based playback, which is what I'm demoing here. The other one was stream-based playback, which I'll get to if I have time. But what I have here in my agent is really two methods, on-user action and on-play state changed. So the previous agent that you saw, the periodic agent, was a general-purpose agent. It had one method called on-invoke. So when your agent is scheduled, we tell you, hey, whatever it is you were going to do, we don't know what it is, we don't care what it is, go ahead and do it, and you've got 15 seconds. But audio agents are more specific, right? They're doing one thing and one thing only, and that is playing back audio. So we have these two overrides, on-user action and on-play state changed. They also have the on-cancel one if we need to cancel them, but we won't talk about that today. Now, these two overrides, on-user action and on-play state changed, work together. And now the way the system works is that the user makes a request to the system to perform an action. So I click the play button on the foreground application, or I click skip next on the UVC, or I click pause, or I as a user request some action. And that comes into the agent as a user action. And the agent gets to decide whether to honor that request, and if so, what to do. Right? So imagine the user hits pause, comes into the agent. The agent is told the user tried to pause. What do you want to do? And then the agent says, okay, I actually want to pause. So the agent tells Zune, go ahead and pause the audio. And then when Zune has paused the audio, it calls the agent back and says, okay, I've paused. Right? So these two work in combination. User says, I want to skip. Agent tells Zune to skip. Zune tells the agent, hey, I just skipped. So usually they come in pairs, user action and then play state changed. But play state changed can also be called by the system directly. For example, say you're playing music, a phone call comes in and the user picks up the call. Zune is going to automatically pause the playback for you. There was no user action saying pause because the user didn't ask to pause, but the system has paused the audio. So you'll get a play state changed in that case saying, hey, play state changed for pause, do whatever it is you need to do. And so what I'm doing in this agent is I'm implementing a very, very simple playlist. Let's look here at I have some XML here. It's just my format of a playlist. You can imagine this was downloaded from a service. I have some tracks with links to content on my local machine. I have about four tracks in here. There's some album art. There's some artist title album information. So my agent is just going to let me iterate through this playlist and play these particular files. It's also going to implement that rule that says you can only skip three times, then you can't skip anymore. So let's see how that works. So on user action is what gets called when I first click play or when I click skip. If the user clicks play, I'm going to check if I'm currently playing a track or I have a current track, I was probably paused, therefore I'm just going to play. Otherwise, if I didn't have a current track, I haven't played anything yet, so let me skip to the first track and start playing. And you'll notice this is exactly the same API that I call in the foreground. When I click call play pause, I call player.pause. And the system is smart. It knows if the UI calls play, I have to send it over to the agent to ask what to do. But if the agent says play, that's the thing that's really in control. So the system will actually start playing when the agent says play. So next, if the user says pause, I'm going to call pause. Again, exactly the same API that the foreground has. If the user says skip next, I'm going to decrement the number of skips the user has remaining, and we'll see how that's useful in a second. And I'm going to call play next track. And then I mentioned that bug in the UVC where it shows the wrong icons. I have a little workaround here. They show skip previous instead of pause. So I have a workaround here that if I click skip previous, I'm going to do the play pause thing. Next thing I'm going to do is save state, because if I've skipped tracks, I've both incremented my current track index and I've decremented the number of skips the user has allowed. And I'm going to save my state to disk in case I get cancelled or in case something happens and I need to reload this state later. And then finally, as I mentioned before, we're going to say notify complete as soon as we possibly can so that the system can give our resources back to the foreground app. So that's what happens when the user requests an action. Now, when play state changes, in this example, we don't really care about much. The only one we care about is track ended. And so when the track ends, we're going to play the next track. But as I mentioned before, just as in the UI, you get all sorts of events for buffering started, buffering stopped, fast forwarding, etc. You get all those changes in the agent as well. So some services, for example, will not let you see what track you're playing until it's finished buffering. So you can do a play state change. When the track starts, you hide metadata from the UVC. When buffering is finished, you can start showing that metadata to the UVC. So there's a bunch of different rules that different applications have you can implement with this play state changed. And then let's look at play next track, which is the kind of the engine behind the agent. First thing it does is it increments my current track index, and it wraps around it if I go over the end. Next thing it does is it gets a track info object, which is the strongly typed version of my XML file. So it pulls out the latest track out of here, track URI, alamat, etc. This is where my skipping logic comes in. The player has a thing called enabled controls, which is the controls that we will show in the UVC. And it's also exposed to the application, so the application can enable, disable their UI as well. So I'm always going to enable pause because we want the user to be able to pause and play audio. Some cases, like live streaming, pausing doesn't make sense, so you can get rid of that. But for us, pause makes sense. The next thing we're going to do is, if our skips remaining is greater than zero, I'm also going to enable the skip next button. But as soon as I've run out of skips, that skip next button will disappear, as you saw in the UVC, and we'll see it again. So that's how I implement my policy of how many skips you can do. Then I'm creating an audio track based on the information I have in my metadata I got out of the XML file. I'm going to mark myself as dirty so that when I save state, I know what to save. Then I'm simply going to set the track I loaded to the player's current track and call play. So that's what it takes in order to do a simple playlist-based application. Now, I should have some breakpoints in here as well. So we can go ahead and debug this and see what happens. And again, we can do the foreground UI and the background agent debugging at the same time, like we saw with the previous agent. Okay, so here we are inside my music player. Very, very sad that we're not going to play the Pet Shop Boys. Let's hit play. Here we are in Visual Studio. Again, you'll see up here, I'm in the UI task. I'm checking what's the current play state. Current play state is paused. So let's go ahead and play. I'll hit F11 on play. You'll see here, launching background task. Now, when I showed you this without the debugger, oh, and I keep hitting back, sorry. Let me stop and start again. When I showed you this without the debugger, it launched almost instantly. Right, I hit play, the music started playing. Under Visual Studio, it takes quite a while because we load all the assemblies with all the DLLs, etc. I'm going to run this again. I have a back button on my mouse that I accidentally click a lot, which tells the emulator to navigate back. So let's hit this. Let's go through here. Hit play. I'm launching the background agent. We'll wait a little while for that to happen. I'm still in my UI task until the agent launches. It's almost there. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Almost there. Okay, now here we are. You'll see we're in the background task now. So now we're debugging the background task. So as I mentioned, I clicked play, which is a user action. So nothing has happened yet. No music is playing. Zune hasn't lifted a finger. It's just channeled that play command into my agent because I'm always in control. And here I'm going to switch on my action. The action, of course, is play because that's what the user asked for. I'm going to go ahead here. I don't have a current track, so I'm going to play next. I'm just going to step over that. Music's going to start playing because that told me to play. And you'll now see I'm back in my UI task. Right? I'm debugging the foreground again. Because my play state has changed, because now I'm playing. So let me just go ahead and now I'm back in the background task. This comes a bit difficult, it switches back and forth. Let me just run out of the background agent. Here I am in the I hit F5 too many times. Here I am, the UI is here, we've updated our album art, we've updated our track information. Let's go ahead and use the UVC, hit F9, click skip. So here we are in the background task again. my action is skip. I'm going to go ahead and do the skip. Now I'm in my UI task again because the agent told Zune to skip. My play state is unknown. It'll come back. Now it's playing. Now if I skip through here, you'll see this is still the old metadata. When I run my update metadata in the UI, I've now updated to the new metadata here. And of course, I can quit the foreground app, bring up the UVC. I still have two buttons here. If I skip, we're back here inside my background task. Run. And the emulator has crashed. That's why you don't get tools until May. But you get the idea. So that was it for background audio. And that's it for all my demos, actually. So let's go ahead. You've seen four demos today. Remember, I started off with two slides, and I said I only have five. So here's my third slide. And this is a quick summary of all the different types of multitasking that we have in Windows Phone next release and when you should use them. And I'll go through this quite quickly. If you just want to resume from the lock screen, you just use fast application switching. Right? Everybody should do this. It's free. If you didn't go to Adina's talk, you should watch it online. Excellent talk. Told you about fast app switching. If you want to set an alarm or reminder, you use the background notifications, just like I showed you for the cake recipe. If you want to upload or download files, you can use background transfer, like I showed you for the video. If you want to do event-based Toastor tile updates, so not regular, but based on changes in the real world, use push notifications. And Thomas Fennell will do an excellent talk about the improvements we're making to push notifications in a couple of hours, so stick around for that. If you want to do location-based services, you want to do regular Toastor tile updates, use a background agent like I showed you. If you want to play music in the background, you can use the background audio player like we just saw. If you want to do really, really heavy data crunching type things like synchronizing a big database or SETI at-home number crunching, use a resource-intensive agent. Kind of as I showed you, it's essentially the same as a background agent for periodic. You just use a different type name. And then finally, the only thing that you should really run under the lock screen for anymore is real-time GPS tracking. Right. Pretty much every other scenario we think we have covered in these other scenarios with the background agents and so on. And running under the lock screen shouldn't be necessary anymore except for very edge cases or things like GPS tracking. And if you have scenarios that you think aren't met by these other mechanisms and you still need to run under lock, please let us know. But we're hoping that as we move to Mango, far fewer applications will run at a lock because it wastes battery and it's not a very good experience for the user. So that was slide three. Here's slide four. Key takeaways. Background processing is a very powerful new feature in Windows Phone. We have built-in services like transfer and alarms and notifications, and we can also let you do code for background agents and for audio. Writing these things is really, really easy. I just showed you how to do four different things. None of them had an obscene amount of code. A lot of them were just half a dozen lines of code to do a toast or a reminder or a transfer. And really what I hope you take away from this is that you really want to get started doing this, and when we release the tools in May, you'll download them, you'll look at this again, and you'll start playing around and adding some cool scenarios to your own applications. So here's my fifth slide, Q&A. Thank you all for coming, and I hope it was useful for you. So please come to the mics if you have questions, or I'll be around afterwards.
Can you combine these different background things? For example, let's say you want to download a podcast, and when that's done downloading, you want to show a toast that says, hey, this is done.
So the question was, can you combine, say, doing a background download with showing a toast? Not directly. When the transfer completes, there is no notification given to the application, but you could have a periodic agent. So every half hour it would check, has the download finished? And once the download has finished, it could then show the toast, and then it would unschedule itself.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. My question is about the background transfer request. Can we do a post request using that background transfer request?
Yeah, so the question was, with background transfer, can I do posts? And the answer is yes. Let's just quickly look down here when I create my background transfer service. There's some things I didn't show you. For instance, I can do a method. Right, so I can set my method to be post if I want to. Another thing I didn't show you is that I can do btr.headers. Oops, I need to get rid of this. So I can specify custom headers as well if I want. So there are more features of BTR that make it more useful for posting data to a website. Soap headers, for example, or a photo from the device. And you can set custom headers as well if you want. So there, that is possible. Yeah, I just didn't show that in the demo.
So that this is guaranteed to run, right?
Can you please repeat?
The background transfer service, it's guaranteed to run. Is that true?
Yeah, so the question was, is background transfer guaranteed to run? Yes, your transfers will get queued. They will persist across reboots. If they're large, they won't run until the user is, say, on Wi-Fi or connected to their PC or they're on AC power, because we don't want to use too much battery and we don't want to use too much of their cell network. I recommend you watch Darren Miller's talk, part one of multitasking online. He talks a lot more about what the limits are. But your things will get queued, they will run, but they may be delayed until the phone is in the right condition.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there a limit to how many agents an application can have running concurrently?
So is there a limit to how many agents you can have running concurrently? Yes, there is. The answer is, and Darren talks about this more, but an application can have a periodic agent. It can have a resource-intensive agent that runs on AC power, and it can also do an audio agent. And the one that I didn't have time to show was media streaming as well, so that's another kind of agent. But you can't have, say, two or three periodic agents.
When the background notifications come in, do those stay up until the user addresses it?
The question was, with the background notifications, the reminders and so on, when they come in, do they persist? They follow the same rules that the system has. We might be tweaking them, and that's a consumer feature we're not really talking about. But today, I think they persist for quite some time. But whatever the standard is for a calendar reminder is the same that will happen for the third-party ones.
Okay, and then if you have multiple apps running agents and two or three of them decide to put toasts up, right in sequence as they run very quickly, what's the user experience there?
Oh, yeah, so the question was, what happens if multiple toasts come from different agents at the same time? The system actually stacks them. So this happens today with SMS, for example. If you get three SMSs in a row, it will show the first one for, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds or so. It goes away, shows the second one, goes away, shows the third one. So the system deals with queued up notifications and will show them one at a time. Any more questions? Okay, thank you for coming, everyone.